Hello, and welcome to the Mountaintop Marriages radio broadcast with Roger and Lorene Traver. Mountaintop Marriages is a marital ministry focused on teaching marriage principles from the Word of God. And now let's get into today's program.
When we went over to Zimbabwe, and we first got there, and we went to a pastor's home, you know, Tom and Bonnie's home, and their youngest son was having a birthday party. And they had this huge party. They must have had 50, 60, 70 kids there. And they had all these little bouncy things out back, you know. And so I was just taking movies because I didn't know anybody. I was just kind of staying out. I had a projector and I was just a little camera, a video camera. And so I was taking, I didn't even see this until I got home. It was marvelous. I've got this on tape, okay? But he wanders up, this little 5-year-old wanders up to the table. And here's this huge cake. And it's like he wanders up and stands looking at the cake, and I was taking a picture of him. And his friend walks up. He just stands beside him, and this kid looks at him like, and he says, "My cake, my party." And then another kid walks up on the other side and crowds him in on the other side. And he says, "My cake, my party, mine, my cake, my." He must have said that 500 times in the next 3 minutes as people started gathering around us like, my cake, my party. I thought, this is really cool. This is life. This is what people are like, okay? You know, this is probably what I'm like. And so finally Bonnie lights the candles for the kid. Okay, and it's like they're all lit and she says, "Okay, blow the candles out." So he goes, "Oh." And what happened? Everybody else in the meantime just blew the candles out, man. And he bursts out in tears. It's like he said, My party. I thought, this is so cool. So it's like, that's selfishness, but that's just the way we are in life. I want that remote control. Okay, I want the way I want to have my life. I want my kind of food. I want my kind of stuff. And it's like that hurts to die to the selfishness, to defensiveness, to anger, to pornography. Am I getting a little close to home tonight? Yeah, because that's just the way we live. Most men in the Christian world and non-Christian world are captivated by pornography. Oh, it's on the internet. All you got to do is just turn that internet on and go to this site. And you got the site you can put under favorites. And you can be on there in 15 seconds and turn that thing off when people walk in a room. Just like I can do this. What's this? I can just do this. And you just black that thing out. Okay? Nobody's going to ever know, right? Oh, yeah. Sin always comes to the surface and kind of bubbles up and always in inopportune time. But see, that's that selfishness you just mentioned. That's just that pornography that we have to learn how to die to that thing as a man, because our wives want pure, holy husbands who will treat them in a godly way. And when husbands treat their wives in a godly way and they're godly, holy people, the sexual relationship, they are naked and they're unashamed. And why? Because their men are pure. Boy, I love that kind of stuff. I don't mean to preach, but I just think that's cool. Whatever brought that up.
So we're talking about marriage is three parts. And it's spiritual.
That's right.
It is a soulish.
That's right. The communication.
And the soul part of marriage has to do with communications and how you share feelings and how you talk to one another. And then, of course, there's the body part that is the sexual relationship.
So go on to the next page. Go to the next page. No, I'm sorry. Go back to the previous page. Go back to that triangle. Go back to that triangle on page, what is it, page 3? As a patient, go back to your triangle and do something for me. Just write in that triangle, spirit, body, and soul. Put the spirit at the top, put the body in one corner, the soul in the other corner. Now, in a marriage relationship, who represents the spirit part? God does. So right above where it says spirit, put in God. Just write in God. Then where it says the body part, isn't the man usually the guy that's more interested in the physical stuff? Okay, usually it's more of a sexual thing for him. Okay, the woman likes it if she's a Christian woman, but not as much as the man sometimes, that kind of stuff. So put in by body, put in man or husband, one or the other, put in man. And then the soul part, aren't most women, not all, but aren't most women more into friendship and talking and communicating and all this kind of stuff? So where you see soul, put in over there woman or wife. Now, if you would, put in one more word than this, if you would. Right between body and soul, put in the word different. Put in the word different. Now, I feel sorry for people who are not Christians and they get married, because all those little things that happen before you're married. Remember the little things that the guy, the husband teased you about before you're married and you liked it? Okay, now it's a pain because he does it every day. It's like, oh my goodness, okay? And then that stuff that your wife does, it's like, man, it was so cute before you were married. Now it's just a real painful thing. So it's like those differences. In fact, do this if you would. Put in the word different and draw an arrow out this way and then draw an arrow out that way. So the man and the wife are different people.
Are we different?
We're different. We look different. Don't call me pretty. But you can call her pretty all you want. She loves it.
He thinks different.
That's right.
He speaks a foreign language.
That's right.
How many times have you ever wanted to have a translator? You know, it's like you say something and he doesn't hear at all what you're trying to say. It comes out all garbled and he hears something totally different than what I'm trying to say. And he talks different. He reacts different. He smells different. He's just different. And you know what? Those differences can really cause conflict if Jesus isn't in the picture. Because it's a long ways from the corner of that triangle to the corner of the other triangle. You know, I used to think God was sadistic. Have you ever had that thought? No. Why did he make us so different? And then he told us to get married and become one. How in the world do you do that? You do it with Jesus.
That's right.
So
now, draw another arrow in, if you would. Draw an arrow right over here from the soul part up toward God. And draw an arrow over here from the body part up toward God. And notice what happens. Of course, you all know this, but notice what happens. When the two people come closer to God, they come closer to each other. That's right. So it's just a simple fact in life. When you become closer to God, you get the spiritual part of the aspect down pat, you become closer to each other. It becomes a wonderful marriage relationship because you're closer to God. Praise the Lord.
So praise God. If you turn to page 5 and 6, there's actually two pages that look just alike, and it's called Great Expectations. Now, because we're different, we're going to have different expectations. Just like what Roger and I, when we got married, and I thought he was going to be, you know, well, we won't go into that. But we had totally different expectations. Take one out, give one to your mate.
Also, open up your book.
Keep the other one.
Open up your book, take one out. You can take both of them out if you like, but if you want to at least take one out. But take both of them out if you like.
Everybody needs a pen.
Everybody needs a pen.
And we're going to find out what your marriage expectations are. So the directions are to rank in order of 1 to 8. What is the most important to you in your marriage? The highest is number 1. The lowest is number 8. So you go from 1 to 8. You can't put 8 on all of them. Okay. Now, the second thing that you want to do is you want to rank in order of 1 to 8, what you think is the most important to your mate when it comes to marriage. So we're going to just do this and see how well you know the person that you live with or that you want to live with or that you think that you would like to spend the rest of your life with. Even if you're not married, you can do this of what you want in a marriage relationship.
Hey, a couple of quick rules. You can't peek. I'm an economics teacher, so I watch. Can't peek.
No cheating.
And second of all, when you get done with this and your mate's all done with this, trade papers and just have a good laugh over the whole thing. But, hear this. You can't get into conflict because we're not going to talk about conflict till tomorrow night. Okay, so you can't get in conflict till at least then.
So this is just for information purposes.
And
okay.
For fun. Enjoy it.
Praise God. Did you find out something new about the person that's sitting next to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. We're going to do some little worksheets off and on throughout the next few days just to find out some information. And it's good things that you can talk about later after you leave and just find out more about the person you live with.
Okay, let's get into really fun stuff tonight. We want to turn over to page 7, I hope. And it says, begin with commitments. We want to walk through tonight and possibly even a little bit tomorrow night. And by the way, tomorrow night, we get into spiritual warfare and how it pertains to marriage. How do you do battle in marriage? I mean, how do you win? Who are your enemies and how do you win? How do you do that kind of thing in marriage? So just a great night tomorrow night. But tonight we want to walk through as many of these commitments as we can. And we'll be out of here by 11:30, so don't worry about that. No, we will quit promptly at 10 after 9. Is that a deal? Okay, we'll quit. Okay. Now, that was a harsh word by a harsh authority.
But we will heed it. No.
I love it. On page 7, there's some commitments that we believe we should have or do to establish a one-flesh relationship. So I want to give you a joke. Can I give you a joke?
Yeah.
Now, you probably all heard this joke. Okay, but if you have, just humor me, okay, and I'll pause at the end so you know I'm done, and you can laugh. Okay, is that a deal? But it's a mountain joke, so it's like I love mountains, and I love jokes, and I love clean jokes. So this man climbed this mountain, tall mountain, 14,000 foot high, and he got to the top of the mountain, looked over the edge, and he's standing there looking at all this wonderful stuff down below him, and he slips and falls off. And he slides down the side of the mountain. It's just a granite mountain, so it's just really slick and wet. And he slides down. And he grabs onto this little tiny tree that's sticking out of the side of the mountain and hangs onto it and saves his life. So here he is about 500 feet down. He can't climb up and he can't go down because there's 2,000 feet of rock below him. They can't do anything. So in desperation, he hollers out, "Is there anybody up there?" And the voice comes back, "Yes, I'm God and I'm here." And the man says, "Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, that's cool." And so he hollers back, "Well, God, can you help me?" And God says, "Yes, I can. Just let go of your tree." And the man looks down and sees death. The man looks up and knows he can't climb up. So finally, a couple minutes later, after finally deciding he can't do either one, he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" That's the end of the joke.
But isn't it true?
Isn't it true?
God tells us what to do, and it's like, oh, God, do I have to do that? I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I could tell some of you when I said on the way home tonight, say to your wife, okay, I'll never, never, never divorce you. Some of you kind of flinched. Like, I don't want to say that. What if I went out? Well, that's the whole point. It's like, die. Just let go of your tree and die. Is that cool? Just die a little bit tonight.
You know, your marriage isn't a computer. It doesn't have an escape button, okay? And you're not supposed to wipe out the program of marriage. You're supposed to work at it, okay? So choices, choices, choices. Page 7, it says, begin with commitments, and it talks about creating a one-flesh relationship. And everybody that's going to have a one-flesh relationship and become one with your mate will have to make choices. And choices are difficult sometimes. But the first one, you should all be able to fill in the blank on this one, is a commitment to what? Marriage vows.
Marriage vows.
Okay. We already said that God established marriage. And he doesn't like divorce. God hates divorce. Actually, do you want to read Malachi 2:14?
I do. Malachi 2:14. In fact, I want to read Malachi 2:13 and 14, because this is another one of those verses that just kind of, you have to read it and it's like, yeah, what's that about?
But marriage is a covenant.
Yeah, marriage is a covenant. So let me read verse 13. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Is that a good question? I mean, I'm crying, God. I'm on my knees and I'm begging you. It's like, what's going on here? And he says, because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Wife by covenant. Now, if we have time tomorrow night or the next night, we'll talk about covenant. You probably already have some teaching on covenant, but it's like we just love that because we don't really have a concept. I don't either. I mean, it's like we as Western world people don't have a concept of what covenant is, not God's concept, okay? When we talk about marriage to God, he doesn't say California laws and what the divorce laws are. He doesn't talk about a contract that you're into as far as the state of California. He didn't care about the state of California. He doesn't care. Well, yes, he does. I mean, he didn't care about the laws, okay, necessarily. So it's like, but he cares about covenant. He says that covenant is for life.
See, we just came from Mexico, and there's many, many common law marriages in Mexico. And the Bible doesn't talk about common law marriages. The Bible talks about covenants. And so we need to come in agreement with the Word of God, and then we can have the blessings of God and the victory of the Word. So we want to do a little visual. Maybe. Have you done this visual here? Okay. Oh, good. All right. This is our little visual. You want to talk about it?
Sure. We have two pieces of clay. One is blue, which is usually the boy, right? Okay. And one is pink, looks like red.
Sort of pink.
Sort of pink. That's the girl.
Pink okay. Wannabe.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. So before we get married, we're just kind of pieces of clay. The Bible says that God made man out of what?
Dirt.
Okay.
Dirt.
Now that's why we had a lady once that said, I knew there were scriptural grounds that my husband was a dirty old man.
No.
I'm sorry. Okay. But the Bible also says that God fashioned a woman.
That's why she likes to go to the mall, guys.
No. So we before we're married, we're just a person, and we're doing our own thing, and then all of a sudden we get married, and you get married, God says to become one flesh. So how do you become one flesh? It's a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing, but it's also an emotional thing. So it's like coming to church. Some Sunday mornings, you wake up, aren't there Sunday mornings when you don't feel like going to church?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do? You say, I'm going to go. I'm going to be there. I don't care how I feel or what's going on. It's like some nights you don't feel like reading the Bible or praying. Okay, sometimes you don't feel like communicating with your wife or your husband. Sometimes you don't even feel like having sex. Whew, I'll work hard on that one. Okay, but see, marriage is a lot of hard work. Become one flesh. You got to become one flesh, body, soul, and spirit. So you're just kind of working at this thing. And then what happens after a year? And one person says to the other person, "I want out.
I don't want to work anymore.
You take the dog.
I don't want the dog.
I'll take the cat.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens?
You know, it's so easy to quit working. It's so easy. How many people still date? Are you married? If you're married and you still date?
Yes.
Praise God.
Good for you guys.
Good. How'd you fall in love in the first place? You spent time together. You worked at it. You talked. You enjoyed one another. You had fun. You know, you did things that both of you enjoyed. And you worked at it, okay? But we're going to quit working.
Let's quit working. And let's get a divorce. Let's just cut this thing apart.
Why does God hate divorce? It breaks the covenant. What can you do with this knife?
I don't know, but I'm going to stand over here.
Do you know that divorce is painful? It's very painful, not only to the couple, but to the children, if there's children involved, to in-laws, to friends. You know, we've had people that have been close friends that have gotten a divorce, and they're not our friends anymore. They just left. It's like they died, mm-hmm. But they're still here.
That's right.
Divorce is painful.
That's right.
But we're going to do it anyway. You want me to cut it on your hand? You better
let me
do
it. Cut it. That's painful.
It's also a sticky mess. But what happens?
We'll clean the knife off.
Can y'all see that from where you're sitting?
Let me show it to him. Can y'all see this? What has happened there?
Ties there.
Yeah. There's soul ties there. Yeah.
The blue has started a process of becoming one with the red. Now, do you think that you could take this and just separate all the blue from all the red? And I mean, do you think you could do that? You can't do that. And God knows that. He knows that. That's why he has a plan. And when we do it God's way, His plan is perfect. Do you know that whatever you buy, something like a microwave or a new computer or whatever, it comes with an instruction book, right? Now, what happens if you put a metal pan into a microwave? Trouble. Sparks fly, right? Okay. So if you don't use the instruction book, you can ruin the microwave. If we don't use the instruction book, which is the Bible, we can ruin our marriage relationship. Right. But if we keep working and we keep doing and we keep, you know, just totally obeying God, obeying the Holy Spirit, obeying the Word of God, what happens to the blue and red? What color is it? Can you tell?
Purple.
It's royal purple.
That's right.
Because we are kings and priests, and we are to look like Jesus.
That's right.
And when He is in us, we can. And we can be as He is here on this earth. So don't ever quit working. Don't ever quit working.
So number one, isn't that cute? Number one is simply a commitment to your marriage vows. God hates divorce. Divorce is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Can we just read these last two lines together? Let's start off here with the word divorce. Let's just read this together.
Divorce is not the answer.
Jesus is the answer. Praise the Lord. Okay, go back to page 7. Let's take a look at number two. Number two, commitment, is a commitment to God being blank. What would you put in there? Head, good word. Probably five words. What? Lord, that's a good word. Other words? Being one. Okay, good. United. So all kinds of good words you can put in there. The word I like best, but it doesn't make it the right word, is the word Lord. Because right below that, read down below that. In order to have God being Lord of the marriage, you must have a born-again relationship yourself with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Let me put it up here. Yeah, okay. So then it says, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit into your life. Because how do you live above sin without the Holy Spirit? Got me. You really got me. Because Jesus, when He died, where is He now seated? So if He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, is Jesus really inside of me? We talk about Jesus in me and that kind of stuff. It's like, but theologically, it's not really correct. Jesus is sitting up there at the right hand of God the Father, but who did He send down here to live inside of us? The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit represents Jesus and talks about Jesus and brags on Jesus, but it's like the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of me. Okay, so number two, receive the baptism. Number three, believe the Word is the absolute truth. Is the Word the absolute truth? Yeah, that's right. So when you wake up tonight, and you're in fear. Have you ever done that? You wake up stupid thing in the middle, just some dumb thought, and you're immediately in fear. What do? You come back and say, the Word is true. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So it's like fear comes from the devil, doesn't come from God. I've got power and love and a sound mind, and dumb devil, I'm going back to sleep. Okay? Because after this, because after tonight, after just saying all that, if you stay awake for more than 30 seconds in fear, I want to say to you tonight, you're in sin. Because why? Because Christians walk in fear. People are just all full of fear in the Christian world. I mean, they just some fear over everything kind of stuff. But I say that's sin because it's walking away from God. So how do you take care of this? Believe the Word is the absolute truth. You come back and say, I've got power and love and a sound mind. I'm not walking in fear. And you walk away from the fear. Is that cool? So we have to believe the Word is the absolute truth. And then obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Obey what the Word says and let go of your tree in some cases. I'd like to just give you a scripture. Let some of you let go of your tree tonight. Some of you, we haven't even talked about forgiveness. We always talk about forgiveness. We haven't talked about it at all. But some of you just plain need to give it up against your mate. You know, we've had people come back to us 25. We had a guy come to us years ago, said 25 years ago, he told his wife, he says, I remember 25 years ago when you said, and quoted. It's like we just need to constantly just give it up and forgive. In you don't need to turn there, but Matthew 6, right after the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer ends, and then Jesus says this, verse 14, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Is that good? Oh, I love being forgiven. I just love it. But then it says, verse 15, see what this does to your theology. I mean, I don't know what it does to mine. I've never been able to figure this out. Verse 15 says, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." So as far as I know, if I sin, I'm in trouble, okay, because I'm not forgiven. So we just need to actively give it up and forgive some of our mates tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I do want to do one more. Okay, let's do one more commitment. Okay, we got 5 minutes. We got to hustle through this, but I love this. I just love this. Page seven. See if you can get this without having anything around it. A commitment to pray. That's right. I love this, folks. This is cool. It says intimate daily prayer time alone and with mate, and pray and reading the word. Now, there are a lot of people that can come out here and pray across the road over here and go through the little pray things, but they won't pray with their mate. Oh, when Yanni gets up and says in church, "You need to pray with your mate," what does everybody in church say? Amen, amen, brother. Amen. Preach it. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's so good. But he preaches it a year later, and what happens? The same people say the same thing, and they haven't prayed at all. Okay, because there's so many reasons why people don't pray. Why don't people pray together? Not you. I know you pray together. But why don't people pray together? Tell me 25 reasons real quickly.
Why don't they?
What time?
Time.
Too tired. Demonic forces. What? I heard one back here.
I don't want to.
That's okay. Right. I don't want to.
Okay. Would that be that stubbornness, that hard heart?
Yeah. My wife's more spiritual than I am. She knows how to pray and I don't. She can say thee and thou and I can't.
I'm afraid that somebody might find out something about me if I pray.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Now, should we pray together? Remember her statistic? One out of how many people get a divorce overall? One out of two. What about people that go to church? One out of how many? Two. One out of how many pastors? 58%,
and, you know,
that's even nastier. We'll pray for our pastors, okay? Okay. What about people that play together a lot? One out of two? But James Dobson says that if you actively pray together, that means actively pray together. Doesn't mean long.
Out loud.
Out loud.
Together with your husband and wife. Two, you know, out loud praying. Out loud together.
Out loud together.
Just
out
the
loud.
Two of you.
Out loud. The divorce rate goes from 1 out of 2 to 1 out of 1,300. It's the only factor that he has ever determined by all of his studies, and he's got all kinds of people doing all kinds of studies with focus on the family stuff. It's the only factor he can determine that changes the divorce rate for anybody, anytime, any place. Now, why does Satan not want you to pray? Because it basically divorce proofs your marriage. If you regularly pray together, it's like you go from 1 out of 2. Now you sit back and say, "It won't be me." I say 1 out of 2 means 1 out of 2. So if there's two couples here, there's a good chance that one of them will get a divorce unless they do what? Pray together. Okay, so we want to talk about praying together.
Is prayer significant? You better believe it. That's why Satan tries so hard to convince you that you don't have time to pray, and for all these reasons. They're lies. They're lies. Everybody say, Satan is a liar.
Satan is a liar.
He's a liar. Don't believe him. Don't agree with him. Don't come into agreement with the devil. Come into agreement with the word in your wife. You know, your wife isn't your enemy. The devil is. Okay? How many of you have, I know you've got all kinds of prayer books probably stacked up on your coffee table at home, but how many people use them? Have you heard of this one, Prayers That Availeth Much? Anybody familiar with that?
Just one of many.
There's a whole bunch of volumes of this. There's a whole bunch of prayer books in the Christian bookstores. But this is one that's based upon pray reading the word. And it's got prayers in here for husbands, wives, harmonious marriage, the children, the home, all kinds of things. They take you. We don't have time to do this because it's 10 after. It's time to leave right now. But it takes a minute and a half, because we've timed it, to read a prayer out of this book. Now, who said there's not time to pray? I think it is time to pray. It is past time to pray. Who would like to have this book free?
Oh, I saw he was first. Right, she was quick. Right, she was quick. You got to come up. You were just a fraction behind him, but you were second. Now, let me brag on him for a second. I don't even know him, okay? All I know is he's a computer nerd.
I'll take nerd.
But when we asked that question, only about a third of you even got your hands up. Okay, because the other two-thirds are saying, I wonder if she wants to charge me. She's going to take orders for this book or something? It's like she's trying to sell a book and promote things. This thing or something. Well, I really use the book. Do I really care about the book? I mean, I don't really know. But he said, yes. Okay, so what happens? Okay, here's the book. It's free. You can go sit down. Okay, but the whole point is, just like Nike says what? The prayer, we just have to just do it.
Do it.
Just do it. Just you can have that. Now when are you going to benefit from using that book? From the book itself? When you use it?
When I use it.
That's right. So you're going to use it tonight, right?
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's good.
Praise God. On page 10.
No, we haven't got time for that.
Oh,
let's do this instead. Okay? In your Bibles, if you all get your Bibles, open it up. We'll close with this. To 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Y'all know the love chapter, right? We're going to pray read something. Right now, we're going to pray read one little thing. Y'all know how to pray read? Pray read simply means what? You're going to take a scripture, put your names in there, and make it yours. 2 Timothy 1:7 is mine. I used to walk in fear. Not anymore. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. That's mine. Want to make it yours? Make it yours. Okay? Roger does not have a spirit of fear. So I put my name in there. Now if you would, on 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 4. Look at verse 4, and it says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant, and so on. It goes down to verse 8. But every time it says love, we want you to put in your mate's name and your name. So I'm going to pray, Roger and Lorene are patient. Roger and Lorene are kind. Roger and Lorene are not jealous. Roger and Lorene do not brag and are not arrogant. Roger and Lorene do not act unbecomingly. Now, not all of you have your Bibles here tonight. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, I want to ask you if you will do this. Okay, before tomorrow night, I want you all to say to me, you'll go home, and sometime tonight or tomorrow before coming back, you'll take 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and whenever it says love, you'll pray it out loud. You actually pray, I pray Roger and Lorene. Don't put in Roger and Lorene.
And you're going to do this together. You're going to hold hands.
Hold hands.
You're going to talk out loud together, and you're going to read the Bible, and you're going to pray, read the word together.
Is that a deal? Okay, it's going to take us how long? Probably 45 seconds for him to pray it, 45 seconds for her to pray it, and so it's like that's a minute and a half. Okay, so it's like we got time to do that? Okay, now I want a commitment. Can I do that? I want a show of hands. How many of you before tomorrow night will do this for me?
Praise God.
You do this. Okay, you do this already. Good.
Okay.
Good. Okay, so I'm going to ask you tomorrow night. That's okay. And it's okay to ask you. And then tomorrow night we want to pick up a lot more scriptures that pertain directly to marriage and talk about those and do some of those tomorrow night too. Okay? So one out of how many? 1,300 get a divorce when they actively pray together.
So
we're going to start praying tonight.
So this church is going to be divorce proof.
That's right.
Right? You're going to be divorce proof because you pray together.
Praise
God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to talk about that tree again. Remember that tree on the side of the mountain? So when we hold on to that tree, some of you need to release that tree tonight. So if you would, just reach up. Hurry up, reach up with a hand and grab hold of your tree. Just grab hold of that tree and look up, and you know it's impossible to climb up, and look down, you know you're going to die if you let go of the tree. And then God says to you, let go of your tree. And what do you do? Good. Now, that took a while for some of you to get rid of that tree, man. Pull the ripcord. That's cool.
I want to share a testimony. I'm not going to tell you any details or anything that happened. But about 2.5 years ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw one of our sons falling into a deep pit. And there were three of his friends that were looking over the pit. And I went over and looked down the pit. And I knew that if anyone fell down that pit, they would be dead. And about 3 months after I had that dream, a pit happened. And everybody said, there's no hope. That nothing can, you know, there's no hope for this situation. And, you know, I didn't even know how to pray at the time. And I just prayed and I said, God, give me a scripture. And he gave me a scripture and I held on to that scripture for probably a good year. Mm-hmm. We both did. Mm-hmm. And you know what? My son is free.
That's right. That's
you know, right. From all of that pit that he fell into. And so I just want to say, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I want to say that if anybody sees their situation or their life or something that's going on, it might not even have to do with marriage, and it just seems like a huge pit and there's no way out of it, there is a way. And you know, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And you ask him for scripture for that, for whatever that pit is that could be, you know, looming in your life, and you can be set free. Okay? Right. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Freedom was our word. We hung on to it for a year. Praise the Lord. Let's go back, if we could. Open up your books to page 7. Let's go back. We want to run through these commitments. We went through 3 of these last night. We want to go through all the rest of them in just a few minutes. We'll come back and take some detail tomorrow. But we want to go through all 8 of these just very quickly. Number 1 is a commitment to your what vows?
Marriage
vows. That's right. Commitment to your marriage vows. And God hates divorce. Divorce is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. That's right. Number 2, commitment to God being Lord of that marriage relationship. That's right. So what's it mean? Have a born-again relationship, be filled with the Holy Spirit, obey the Word of God, believe the Word of God is the truth, and believe all that stuff. What happens? Man, you're solid in Jesus, okay? Make him Lord of your life, Lord of your relationship. Number 3 was a commitment to prayer, a commitment to prayer. And I need to ask you the question. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Can I ask you? Yeah. How many of you, before you came back tonight, between last night when you left and when you came back tonight, read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and pre-read it?
Put your names in it.
Good for you guys. That is so cool. That is so cool. So let's do some more. Turn over with me. Turn over to page. What page is that? Page 10. Maybe. Page 10. Does your page 10 say scriptures to pray read? Oh, this is so good, folks. Page 10 and page 11. We've got 2 pages of scriptures to pray read. And all we do is just stick our name in there. I know you've had teaching on this before, and most churches haven't. We go into churches and people say pray read. Yeah, and we say simple, just pray, but you guys know what you're doing already. So we want you to put in some names. I want you to read this stuff out loud. We're going to pray right now. Is that okay? Can you pray with your eyes open? Yeah, okay. So on page 10, we want the man.
I hope so, because Roger does it all the time when we're driving.
We want the man to take a hold of your wife or fiance or girlfriend's hand or whatever you're going to do. But take a hold of hands. Take hold of hands. And men, I want you to read this. You're going to read it. We're not going to read it all together. You can do it on your own, but we're going to do it all at the same time. But we want you to put your wife's name in on that first one. Philippians 2, 2 through 4, make Lorena my joy complete, and just do that. Okay, when you're done, wife, if you would do John 13, 34, husband do Romans 5, 5. Just go back and forth. Philippians on page 11. We go over to 1 Peter 3, and we go all the way down to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. You've already done that. So you can do that later tonight.
Now, when you get done pray reading the word, we want you to, whoever's turn it is, to thank Jesus for your mate. And just, you know, maybe a couple sentences. You don't have to pray for half an hour. And then let the other one thank Jesus for their mate. Something good that you want to thank Jesus for. Why teach about prayer when you can do it, right? Okay, so let's just do it.
And if you're by yourself or if you're single, you can read these prayers. Put your own name in. Make my joy complete.
We come into agreement. That's what we're doing here. And when two come into agreement, you can have what you say. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
So if you're here alone, come into agreement with Jesus because he is the word.
And there's no race to get through this. So just kind of read the words and see what you're saying and just get this down pat, because we're going to say it again later tonight and tomorrow and the next day. We're going to allow you to read it again. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Good. Okay, men, just start us off. I'll just do it up here, too.
Praise the Lord. I think that took about 3 minutes. It's a good, powerful 3 minutes. 3 minutes that we need to do every day. Do you know that if you did this every day as a couple and you prayed together, not only would it divorce-proof your marriage, but there will be miracles that will happen because you will become what the Word says you are. Because your words are creative. You can either create good with your words or you can create evil with your words. You can either speak positive truth, which is the Word of God, or you can agree with the enemy and speak negative things about how bad your problems are. So when we start changing the way we talk, we will change the way we act.
You know, we don't have this in the book, but we would like to say this to you, just an encouragement. Write down sometime a marriage vision for your marriage. Write down, just write, I don't know if you, have you ever done that before, written down a marriage vision? Write down just a whole series over the next week or so. Write down a whole series of what do you want from your marriage? Okay, I want my wife to be my best friend. Okay, I want to have good, healthy sex. Okay, I want to have a wonderful spiritual relationship. I love to pray with her. Okay, just write down a whole series of events and then share them with your mate and put them together and make up a common vision for your marriage. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Write down that vision and say, just put it down. And then you start praying, reading the Word over all that. And you say, my husband hasn't been a communicator. But by faith, I'm calling him a good communicator. He's going to communicate with me, and I'm going to pray that into existence, okay? It's like all you men, you say, we don't have very good sex, but boy, we're going to now, okay? You just watch what's going to happen. I'm going to pray for that. Can you pray for good sex? Oh, you better believe you can. God will answer that kind of prayer. Okay? God just loves that. So write down these things and come together with a common marriage vision and say, what is the vision for our marriage, and what do I really want from it? And then start praying, reading the Word. We need to go on quickly. Number four. It's working on the computer. I love this. Number four is a commitment to. Yeah. Yeah. You want to just turn it off and turn it back on? You can.
It's a commitment to sharing feelings.
A commitment to sharing feelings.
Would you like to know how we feel about this computer? It is blessed.
Oh,
it is working. It is good. It is God's. Okay. It is not the enemy's.
Now, by the way, along with this, under sharing feelings, talking, it says understanding each other's differences, each other's needs. Now, we said last night all these things, but just watch how we put this up here. We think differently. We talk differently. We respond differently. We react differently. We were created different on purpose, but we're commanded to complement and complete each other. I think that's cool, okay? We took this picture of Yanni and Dawn in Kariba. Okay? That's Kariba itself. That's how pretty it was. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
The fifth commitment is simply a commitment to prayer.
Okay, I'll get through this in a second.
And it's a commitment to healing prayer.
Commitment to healing.
But it's a commitment to healing prayer. Prayer for healing. Prayer for emotional healing and prayer for physical healing. You need emotional healing as much as you need physical healing.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, isn't it cute? That's not us, man. Okay, number six, a commitment to have a pure, creative sex life. That means pure first. Creative second, but both of them are necessary. I say good for us, folks, okay? I can tell some of you are smiling. That's neat. Some of you aren't smiling over that whole thing. You're saying, not me, man. Okay, so I say if you don't have pure creative sex life, we need to work toward that. Number seven is a commitment to right priorities. Now, here's the right priorities that we see. We're going to give you a worksheet after a while and let you do your own, but the priorities we see is that God wants to be first. He wants to be first in everything in your life, in your church, in your house, in your home, with your kids, with your family. But he's first in everything that we do. And with God's first, then we put our mate second, Does any mate feel second and really, really negative about being second to God? Oh, my goodness. If I'm the kind of husband that I'm putting God first, Loreen loves to be second because she knows I'm going to take care of her. Okay? Then the children come after that. Then the ministry and the job. Then the ministry and the job. Then the ministry and the job. And then the ministry and the job. Okay? Now, the reason I'm saying that is you guys have your act together, but many, many churches, they believe that ministry is God. And ministry is not God. I mean, ministry is not God. Your personal relationship with God and what you do and what you pray and what you're doing with Him, that is first place. But your ministry is fourth place. And if you ever put your wife or your children before or after your ministry, they're going to know it and they're going to resent it. And you're going to have a terrible ministry because your wife and husband or wife and kids aren't with you. Okay?
So God has an order of authority. I want to read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. It says, I want you to know and realize that Christ is the head of every man, or should be. And the head of a woman is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So Jesus was submitted to God the Father when he was on this earth. And when man is submitted to Jesus, it's very, very easy for a woman to submit to her husband. The word submission, I heard this definition and it really just clicked in my spirit. But it's for a woman to find out what the mission, what God's mission is for her husband and get underneath it and support him in it. Isn't that a neat, really neat? Find out what your husband's mission is, his call from God. And you get underneath that mission and support him. That's submission.
Now, by the way, we just stepped on some toes. I can tell. I just feel those negative vibrations. The word submission is a nasty word out there. Okay, even in the church, it's a nasty word. A lot of people hate the word submission. Okay, but the whole point is, I as a husband need to be submitted to Christ. Mm-hmm. If I'm submitted to Christ, for her to be submitted to me is a very easy thing to do. Okay, when we flew over to Taiwan, there was a pilot and a co-pilot. Is that good? Is the pilot more qualified than the co-pilot? Not usually. Usually they're both equal qualifications. But the pilot flies the plane. Okay, so what happens when the storm comes along? The pilot says, what do you think, man? Should we go left or go right or go through it or go over it? What do you think? You know, you're just as skilled as I am. I want another opinion here before I really go on and do this kind of stuff. And the co-pilot says, I think this. And then the pilot says, we're going to do this. He makes a decision on the basis of all that, but he asks what that co-pilot really is thinking and what they're really doing and goes on the extra advice. So when what happens in my family, I am the pilot, and God made me that way, and I'd just as soon not be. Is that strange to you? I don't care about being the pilot. I don't care if I'm the CEO of this company. You know, I'd just as soon not be. But God's going to hold me responsible for the whole thing. So I've got to be submitted to God. But I consult my co-pilot, and I listen to her because she's the emotional part of me. I'm that dry, boring, just one and one is two type person. And I can really hear wrongly from the world because I'm going one and one is two. And many times one and one is not two. I teach economics, and it's like it's not always two. Okay, so I listen to my wife, and I come into agreement with her. And since we're on this topic, in Ephesians, right before this whole topic of man and wife, okay, and what they're supposed to do, I think it's 5:23, but it says we're to submit one to another. Oh, I'm to submit to my wife? Yes. I listen to her. I honor her. We're a team in what we do. We make decisions together. But if it comes down to it and I have to make a decision right now, I make that decision, but I listen to her.
And okay? It says to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And you know, the Bible tells a woman to submit to her husband as, you know, Jesus is the head of the church. And so when a husband acts like Jesus, love is easy. Submission is easy. You know, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says that a woman is to submit to demon spirits. And I won't go any further with that. but that's true. It's true. And so we are to submit to godliness and holiness and righteousness. And we'll talk tomorrow about abuse and situations of abuse. God, I don't believe, wants a woman to submit to demonic abuse.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So we'll talk more about that tomorrow, so I have to come back in here.
That's right. So priorities, then we have friends, we have hobbies, we have all those things afterwards. But watch this, okay, if the priorities aren't right, look what happens. Ha ha, they get out all out of kilter. I think that's really cute. Okay, so we have this commitment to right priorities, that is right on. Number eight is a commitment to change yourself, not your mate. That's cool.
Can you all say that together?
Hang on a second. I've got to put the person up here.
There they are.
But this is a picture of the couple in the last church we went to, and they really went at it. It was cool because both of them were trying to change each other.
So every stand up.
Okay.
Look at the person you're with and say, I can't change you.
I can't change you.
But God can.
But God can.
Praise God. Okay, you can be seated. But quit trying. Quit trying to change each other. God doesn't want us to change the other person. He made them male and female on purpose so that there would be male qualities and female qualities. And when we come together as one, then we are a solid person. And, you know, God is both male and female, and we need each other. So that's good.
Okay, we have a project for a minute and 19 seconds. Okay, I want you to look down through the list of commitments, all eight of those commitments, and I want you to pick one that you believe that you as a couple should work on for the next week or month or 6 months, whatever period of time you want to put in there. But you believe that's what you really need to focus on and say, we need to look at that area and really go for it in that area. Now, once you've done that, once you see it, just go ahead and share it with your mate and let them share with you what they got. Yeah, just share.
What happens if one of you gets one thing and the other one gets the other thing? What do you do?
Do both. That's
right.
All right.
That's
good. He is cute.
That's agape love that you will give expecting nothing in return.
Okay,
right?
a minute and 13 left. Go for it. Okay. Now, I don't know all of you folks yet. I want to meet all of you before we get out of here. Okay. But we're here for quite a while, which is kind of neat. But it's like, I don't know you, so I'd like to find out tonight just some things about you. So if you'd just humor me, if you would, I'd like to ask all of us just to stop right here and just bow your heads. Just close your eyes and just all of us close our eyes together so we aren't looking around. And just let me ask you some questions, important questions to your marriage, key questions to your marriage. The question number one I want to ask you is, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and you want to do that, tonight, I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. But I want to pray with you, and I want to pray. We'll all pray together as far as a group. But I want you just to acknowledge that you've never received Jesus and you'd like to receive him tonight. I'd like you just to raise your hand and just wave at me, and we'll just pray with you. I won't embarrass you at all. Is there anybody here that would like to receive Jesus for the first time? Anybody here?
The Bible says in John, unless we're born again, born of the Spirit, then we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus will forgive us of every sin that we've ever committed, and he'll wash us with his blood. That's what it means to be born again. We come to him, we ask him to forgive us, we ask him to be Lord of our lives, and we confess that we need him in our lives to help us to be victorious. Is there anybody here that would like to do that tonight? Just raise your hand.
Let me ask you a second question. Just keep your eyes closed. Let me just ask you a second question. Is there anybody here who has never asked the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, has never asked God the Father to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit wants to be our friend and our counselor and our guide and our helper. He helps us overcome sin. He helps us to live victoriously in our marriage and in everything we do. But we have to receive him.
And he gives us power in your life to do the things that the Word says to do.
So is there anybody here, just if there's anybody here that wants to receive the Holy Spirit, you have not never done that before, you want to just be filled up with the Holy Spirit, just raise your hand. We'll pray. We won't embarrass you. We'll just pray with you. Anybody here? Praise the Lord.
Is there anybody here tonight that says, you know, I know Jesus. I've asked for the Holy Spirit, but things in my life are not right. Things in my marriage, there are problems, and I need prayer. Now, we're not going to ask for what.
Thank you.
If that's you, raise your hand.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank,
thank
you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You. Thank you,
praise
your
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus is the answer.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is the power. Mm-hmm. So let's just pray.
Father, I just come before you tonight and just ask that you just bless marriages here. Bless individuals. Father, as individuals, we have sinned and we come short of what you want for us. So, Father, we just ask tonight to forgive us of our sins. We ask you to cleanse us, to make us whole, make us white, make us pure vessels. Father, I know there's just problems here in marriages, and I know there's even marriages here tonight that are just critical, that need a miracle in their marriage. They need that love restored. They need to have forgiveness happen. They need to have restoration in the marriage. And Father, I just ask for that tonight. I just ask you supernaturally restore tonight individuals to each other, that the marriage would become whole, that forgiveness would flow.
Father, you see the hurts. You know what happens behind closed doors.
That's right.
You know the words that have been said that were not of the Holy Spirit. You know the hurt. Father, we ask that you would come tonight mm-hmm. and heal.
Heal.
The hurt.
Thank you, Jesus.
And heal the pain. Mm-hmm. And Father, that you would put within each person a new, fresh hope, a new, fresh excitement mm-hmm. of what you can do and how you can make a difference in their lives. Father, their situation may be nothing like what ours was, but everyone has a situation. And Father, whether it's little or small or huge, we ask that you would intervene and that you would make it right. And Father, for those marriages that are strong and healthy, we thank you for those. And we ask that you would just bless them with a double portion of your goodness and your mercy and your blessing, and that you would make what they think is good even better. And Father, that it will be because of you and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just loose the Holy Spirit right now upon this place. We just loose agape love. We just ask, Father, for a baptism of your love to fall upon each couple that's here tonight, that they would see each other, not in eyes of criticism or negativism, but that they would see their mate through your eyes, through eyes of love, and that the things that have made them upset or angry or, you know, confused about their mate, Father, that you would give them fresh eyes to see the way that you see. Lord, only you can do that, and we're asking you to do it tonight.
Praise the Lord. Father, I know that there's many people here that have been abused in their life. Mm-hmm. And that abuse is affecting their marriage. And mm-hmm. I just ask, Father, you just cause mm-hmm. forgiveness to flow.
Amen.
Healing to happen.
Amen.
You just be able to set people free. Father, mm-hmm. you said in Isaiah that you just want people free.
Mm-hmm.
You want people mm-hmm. totally set mm-hmm. free. Mm-hmm. Just set your people
mm-hmm.
free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll talk
mm-hmm.
about these next mm-hmm. few days, but we just ask that you just do a miracle
oh,
even tonight in setting people
Lord.
Free from all the junk, all the abuse, all the past in people's
Lord.
Lives. And people can be set free to love their mate and minister
Jesus.
To their mate in a way they never have before.
Mm.
Praise you.
Healing begins with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Healing begins with forgiveness. Wholeness begins with forgiveness. Father, if there's anybody here tonight that needs to forgive their mate, I pray that they would do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Right now, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
If there's anybody here that needs to forgive themselves, Lord, I pray that they would be able to do it right now. Right now. If that's you, just obey the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Obey.
That's right.
Obey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
Thank
the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information or materials for Mountaintop Marriages, to contact the Travers, or for a detailed seminar schedule, please visit www.mountaintopmarriages.org. And remember to keep climbing until you reach the top.